Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful day, this beautiful rainy day. I know some people be like, oh man, it's raining and I don't know that I want to go out. I don't know that I want to go to church. Let me tell you something. Rain, sleet, or snow, man, we need to be together, rejoicing together as a body of Christ, coming together, praising the Lord. Don't let a little bit of rain put fear in your heart. Get here, get to your church, wherever you are. If you did today, no condemnation. Just understand that. Don't let that happen. You won't do that for anything else. If you had to go to work, you would go to work. Even if it rained, you would be there. And so just want to encourage you to remember that. So we welcome you to Manifest Church, a live stream. We are going to be back in the book of Daniel. We're in chapter 6, and we're going to continue in a series called Trust in God. This is the third part of that series, and we're going to finish up Daniel chapter 6. That is my intention today to finish. So if those of you are watching right now, you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or Rumble, please hit the subscribe button and the like button so you can get, or the notification bell. That way you can get sermons as we upload them to the different platforms. You also, if you're going to listen later on the podcast, go ahead and hit the follow button and the bell so you can get also the notifications for that. We're on all podcasting platforms of your, whichever one you like, Apple or Spotify or Google, whichever one you want to use, we're there. And we thank you for joining us today. And I'm glad to be here with those in my home to lift up the name of Jesus. We had an awesome time of worship and praising God through song, and now we're going to have another part of worship in the Word of God. Amen. So let's pray as we get started. Father, we love you. We thank you for bringing us here this morning, giving us life and breath. Lord, thank you for giving us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, through our Lord, who died on Calvary, Lord, on the cross and was buried. And on the third day, Jesus rose again, and he is now seated at the right hand of God, awaiting his return. And Lord, we thank you for that. We rejoice in that hope that we have as believers. That's why we come together. That's why we come and gather together as a body of Christ weekly to encourage and edify one another so that we can continue the work that Jesus left us here to do. We want to occupy until you come, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come now and in our midst to minister to you, to us who are here, to those who are listening now or watching, those who would watch later or listen later. God, I pray right where they are that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit will be bringing understanding, conviction, whatever is needed at the moment in their life. I pray, God, that you would have your way. Lord, speak through me. Help me, Lord. Make me competent to preach your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's remember, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. So if you have a Bible, you could turn there. As we go through the stream, if you're watching through there, you'll see some scriptures put up side by side there where you can follow along as well. But I do want to encourage you to get the Word of God in your hand because it's so important. The Word of God is there to encourage us and to remind us of things that have happened and to remind us of what is going to happen. So when the enemy comes and telling you to throw in the towel, it's over. You remind them, you know the end. You know his fate right here. You remind them of his fate. And that fate is to be cast in forever into the lake of fire. So you and I can trust in what God is doing. Even when things look chaotic around us, we can know and have the hope that our God is in control. Amen. He's always in control. There is nothing that that people can do in this world. It's kind of vain. The plotting and the things that people try to do to get God out of the way, they never can. God will always exist. He will always have a witness. He will always have a message to declare to this world. So let's go on. So we are, again, we're in Daniel. We were in this series, Trusting God. And, you know, as we look around our world and our nation today, we see what the apostle writes to a young preacher named Timothy, one of his sons in the Lord, one that Paul poured his life into, and Timothy walked with Paul a lot and learned from the Apostle Paul. And Paul writes it to in the second letter to Timothy in chapter 3. This is a sign of these are some of the signs, some of the symptoms of the last days. And I want you to really pay close attention to the scripture. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. I want to set this up introduction as we move into Daniel. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's read. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." You see, you need to understand our enemy, our adversary, Satan, has done his work in dividing and conquering. His role is to divide us from God, divide us from each other, and then to conquer us, to destroy us. That is his goal. Why? Because we are image bearers of God. We have been created in the very imago Deo of God. We have been created in the image of our Creator. And therefore, he hates us and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We need to understand that our enemy has been working to divide and to destroy. You see, you need to understand, do you remember when Jesus was, if you've read the Bible enough, you've read some of the Gospels, Jesus was with his disciples, he was driving out demons, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, they were concerned that Jesus, they accused him of being filled with a demonic spirit. They called him the prince of demons, Beelzebub, and this is what they said of Jesus, and Jesus corrects them, and he says something very profound that is universal. He says, "A house divided against itself will not stand." And you see how he basically said, why would Satan drive out Satan? That doesn't make any sense. So you need to understand that Satan's work is to destroy us from within, and his goal is to make this house divided in order to conquer it. Because if we unite ourselves under the banner of Jesus Christ, if we unite ourselves to the faith of our fathers who founded this country through Judeo-Christian beliefs, then our nation will go on united and strong. But because we have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have rejected the faith of our fathers, we've begun to worship other gods. Now we find that our country is hemorrhaging. And the writer of Psalms says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And you see, our enemy has been destroying the very fabric and the foundations of our society that were built on Judeo-Christian beliefs. And he has been at it for a long time. And now we're in a generation and a people of time where we're seeing this unfold before our eyes. And it's very disheartening to us who have been grown up in a country that valued God, that valued. We have this idea of God and country. Amen. But for whatever reason, that has been thrown to the wayside, and we see what is happening, lawlessness in our land. And so these are the things that we're seeing. And think about Daniel, who was a captive of Israel, and how he was seeing that in his land. And when he was a young man, and he was in his time, he was seeing how this was happening in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Judah, the second, the southern kingdom of Israel, and you see that they were taken captive by Babylon. As a result, God judged them for their sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, still had a plan. He still, even in the judgment, was going. He used Jeremiah to buy a field in that a field to be a promise that they will come back to this land. But there was going to be a time of judgment that they had to go through. There was going to be a time of captivity. And you need to understand, when God allows when God allows you and I to go through these sufferings, these things produce in us obedience. Suffering produces in us obedience, and it's part of the process of God. I don't understand. I don't want to suffer, but you know what? When we suffer, we do away with sinful behavior, and we begin to live for God. We begin to realize what's important, and it's our soul. It's in good standing with God, understanding that we have an eternal life to live. And so it changes our perspective when we endure suffering. So I tell you today, Daniel's account of being thrown into a den of lions will show us that there is nothing impossible for God. Even though things look the way they look, I want to remind you, my brother, my sister, I want to remind you, friend who's watching, that nothing is impossible with God. If God does not want this to sink yet, if God isn't ready to bring this thing to an end, I promise you this too shall pass. Because we know that one day he is going to bring everything to an end, but it's in his time. And you know what? No one knows, no man knows the day nor the hour. Only the Father knows when that time will be. And he has given us his word so that we can see indicators, so we can have indications of what the time, the signs of the times look like. And so we are expecting our salvation is drawing nearer than when we first believed. Amen. So let's move forward here. Let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 6. If you have your Bible, turn to verse 19, and we're going to be on Daniel chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through 28. We're going to finish up today. I'm going to make 2 points and we'll be done. All right, let's go. It says, then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. This is verse 20. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwelled in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And he who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Wow, what an awesome situation. If you remember last week, a real quick recap, there were 2 points we dealt with last week, and the two were Daniel continued in his faith. You remember in this situation, the satraps and the other officials, the high officials, conspired. They created a plot in order to get Daniel out of the way, because Daniel was getting too beloved by the king. Daniel was getting too much attention, and so they were trying to throw shade. That's as the young people say today. They were trying to throw shade at Daniel. They were trying to put Daniel in a bad light, huh? They were trying to do things to get Daniel to look bad, and even to get him out of the way. And so they devised a plot. Remember, because Daniel had an excellent spirit, Daniel feared God, and therefore Daniel was a good citizen at that point. Even though he was a captive, he was still being obeying the laws and those things. As long as those laws did not bring any kind of way where he would have to break the law of God, he was fine, and he obeyed those laws. And exactly that's what they used. They said, we've got to find a way to, we can make a decree or an injunction or a command by the king that has to be obeyed, that will cause Daniel to have to break the law of his God. And if it does say that, then we know this, Daniel's not going to break the law of his God, so we got him. So the trap was set, and the moment was there, and you know how the story went. The king signs off, not understanding what he's about to do, because he's not thinking that Daniel's going to be one that he's going to have to throw into the lion's den. And this is what happens with people. You know that not everybody is in the plot. There are people, even as we saw in our nation, we saw the plots that took place where there was a coup, a silent coup within our country. We saw how we have never seen before people and all governments and all kinds of agencies within our government looking for ways to remove a president. It was just unprecedented. We had never seen that before as a people. And we saw how all those things took place. And there were people, I believe, that were innocent. They were just following their orders and thinking, okay, this is what we got to do. I have to do this based on my job. But they didn't realize what the precedent they were setting for things to come. And so that's why we see what we're having today. We're the trust, the American people's trust in our government and the trust in our those who are in our CIA and FBI, those kinds of things. The trust is very low because of the things that we're seeing, how a party weaponized the government against its citizens. And that's dangerous for any people, whatever side you're on. We never want to see the government weaponized against anyone. We want people to have the free speech. This is a God-given right. You have the freedom of speech. You have the freedom of assembly. We could come together and assemble as people under the banner of God. We can declare what we need to say. And you know what? If someone's lying, if someone's not telling the truth, I know this, that whatever is not right is going to be brought to light eventually. And that's what we've seen. Even though they've tried to silence everybody through these type of platforms that we're on right now, they've been censoring people. People that have been trying to tell the truth about certain things that are going on in the world, they've been censored. And now those things that those people were talking about, we're talking about two or three years removed. Now we're, oh, those were actually right things. This was happening and blah, blah, blah. And so on and so on. And yet no one pays a price. But I want you to know something, that though it may look like the wicked are prospering, the wicked will not prosper. There's a day coming. There's a judgment day coming. And we leave that to God. And as men, yes, we hope that people will begin to see that they're creating a two-tier justice system in this country. So we want to stop that. Just like Daniel, we want to remain faithful to our God. We want to be true to Him. We want to be people who are found faithful to Him. And so Daniel trusted in God, and the plot was there. And Daniel continued in the faith. That was what we remember. Daniel opened up his windows, as he always did, and prayed before God three times a day. And Daniel prayed, and therefore they found him, that he was crying out to God. So remember, the petition was, if you pray to anyone other than the king, you would be cast into the den of lions. And therefore they come together again, and they tell the king, hey, Daniel is praying. He needs to be put into the den of lions. And then the second point was the plot worked. So what they had conspired and what they desired to do worked. They got Daniel in trouble with the law of the land, the decree of the land. And because Daniel feared God more than he feared the laws of man, Daniel chose to obey the living God by continuing in his faith while he knew his head was on the chopping block. And therefore, Daniel is now being thrown into the lion's den. And the king was so hurt by this because he loved Daniel. He didn't realize what he just did. And when he signed that decree, and according to the laws of the Medes, the law that of the land was higher than any person. There was no king that, it wasn't like Babylon. Babylon, whatever the king said happened, the king can lie, he can say whatever, and that's what it is. But according to the Medes and Persian laws, when the law was when a decree was made, it had to be enforced. There's no one that can revoke it. The king was bound to the law. Not so with Babylon, but that's another thing that we talked about. And so, again, Daniel is, the plot works. Daniel now was thrown into the den. And the king, I meant to read verse 18 of Daniel 6. And it's just at that moment, the king was actually fasting and praying. I mean, a pagan king is praying for the man that he just threw into a den of lions. But it's because he didn't realize what he just did. He didn't understand what he was doing because he was deceived. People try to puff you up and say all these flattering things about you. You should be the one they should be petitioning, not some other gods. Because, you know, when men think of gods, they're not real. So they know in their mind, they're not real. They're not talking about the creator of heaven and earth. But these false gods that men worship, so they're like, yeah, no. They got to worship me and nobody else. And he didn't realize that Daniel's God was the living God, the true God. And Daniel wasn't going to submit to that. Because Daniel did not sell out. He didn't sell out his soul. He was a man of God. He loved the Lord. And that's why God used him. That's why God delivered him, as we read. So Daniel's trust in God was rewarded. This is the first point I want to make. Daniel's trust in God was rewarded. We saw this in the first few verses. God had delivered Daniel from the den of lions. He did so by sending his angel to close their mouths. Isn't that awesome? That God sent an angel into the lion's den to close the mouths of the lions. So this is awesome. Just an amazing thing that took place. You know, many people over the years can tell you, hey, I think I had an encounter with an angel. I was hurting. I was in trouble, or I was in an accident. And I should have been dead. But this person, somebody came and helped me, or something happened. And then I don't know where they are. I couldn't thank them. I couldn't do that. They just came and left, or they did what they did and left. And I never saw this person again, or whatever the case may be. Angels have been doing the work of the Lord for a long time in human history. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, I want to show you this passage. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Again, this passage, this first chapter of Hebrews, starts off with a bang. I mean, Hebrews is all about saying Jesus is better. Jesus is a better high priest. Jesus is a better sacrifice. Jesus is better. He's screaming to the people of Israel, hey, the sacrifice of bulls and goats can't wash away your sins completely. Your conscience is still under the guilt of your sin. But Jesus not only cleanses you outwardly, but he cleanses you inwardly. He cleanses your conscience before God, and that's why you can enter in the holies of holies, because of what Jesus did. He's a perfect high priest. Why? Jesus lives forever and making intercession for you and for me. See, the high priest died, and they had to put another one. Year after year, they would have to offer up sacrifices for the people, the blood of bulls and goats, and the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. That's why they had to do it year after year. But Jesus entered one time into the heavenly tabernacle. His blood, when it dropped, it was enough. It was enough. He doesn't have to die over and over like they had to do with animals. Jesus was better. He was a better sacrifice. Jesus is the supreme Son of God. He's the exact representation of God. You can't compare him to an angel. That's where he starts. And that's why this last verse has this question concerning angels are ministering spirits. Angels aren't called the Son of God. Amen. Not like what he says. If you go back a few verses here in chapter 1 of Hebrews, you'll see that. I don't want to get into that. I just want you to know that angels are ministering spirits. That's what we are. He asked a question because, yes, that's what it is. We all throughout biblical history, all throughout man's history, we know that God has used angels to be ministering spirits to people, and especially to those who are inheriting salvation. Angels bring messages from God. You're going to see here Daniel. When he, as we go on in Daniel, the angels tell him the interpretation of the dreams that he has. An angel comes to him and tells him, hey, I wanted to get to you, but there was a war I was fighting and against the enemy, and I couldn't get to you fast enough. But you know, there are things that go on in the unseen world, in the supernatural realm, in the eternal realm that we don't see because we're natural people. We are natural beings. We cannot see into that realm and what is happening there. But nevertheless, there is a battle. There's a battle between good and evil. And that we have an adversary, and his name is Satan. And he has demons that work under his command. He is their commander in chief. Yet those demons and Satan have no power over you unless God allows them. And God has given them a season where they are doing what they're doing. But ultimately, everything that they do, God has to give them the authority to do it. You remember the story of Job? Job, it says when the angels were appearing before God, Satan comes up and he says, hey, God says to Satan, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan's like, oh, well, I can't touch him because you got a hedge of protection over him. I can't do anything to him. But if you take that off, I promise you, I can make Job curse you to your face. And he says, okay, go ahead and do that. I'm going to remove the protection, but you can't kill him. You can make him suffer. You can do whatever, but you can't kill him. And as we know the story, all the trials and afflictions that Job went through, the loss of his children, the loss of his everything he owned, Job, I mean, was left to basically dirt. And yet he did not curse God. The famous words, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I will bless the Lord at all times, right? He said, I'm still going to bless him. I'm still going to worship him. Though he slay me, I will still follow. Amen. Job had that attitude, and we have to have that attitude. So angels were messengers of God. You remember, angels are instruments of God's judgment. We saw in Genesis when Abraham was concerned about his Lot because the angel said, hey, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. And Abraham said, would you not? And he pleaded with them, and they say, yeah, if there's one righteous, the city could be saved. But we all know there was none righteous. So Abraham's intercession for Lot and his family, the angels went to find Lot, and you know the story. They come and tell Lot, hey, you got to get out of here because we're going to this place is going to be destroyed. And don't look back. Just run out of here and do not look back. And obviously we know the story. That was the moment that we know the account of this situation where as they're running away from the city and the hail and brimstone is falling on the city, Lot is moving his daughters. They're all running. And all of a sudden, Lot's wife looks back and she turns into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the command of the angels. So angels are ministering spirits. They come, they bring judgment. We're going to see in the book of Revelation, if you read the Bible, you see in the book of Revelation how God uses the angels when the seals are broken, the bowls and the trumpets are sound. Angels are enforcing God's judgment on the earth. We're going to see that. I love this. I want you to go to Acts chapter 12, and I want you to see how angels also can set us free. Go to Acts chapter 12, and I want you to see this with me in Acts chapter 12. This is a moment where the Apostle Peter is now in prison. And this is about to go bad with him, but it wasn't his time yet. God had not finished the work that he had not finished with Peter's work on the earth. And Peter wasn't going anywhere. And so God does something. Look at verse 6. Let's start there. Acts chapter 12, verse 6, and we're going to finish in verse 12. It says, now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on his side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And when he went out and followed him, he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gates leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting. That's where we're going to end right there. So you notice there, God used an angel to set the Apostle Peter free from his imprisonment. He was in prison, not because he was a wrongdoer. I mean, so I don't want people to think that Jesus is going out there to release people who have committed murder and theft and all this. No, Peter was a man of God who was in prison for preaching the gospel, for what he was declaring about who God is and Jesus Christ, because he was declaring the resurrection. He was not put in prison for doing wrong. He was put in prison for obeying God, just like Daniel was put in a den of lions for obeying God rather than obeying the laws of men. Okay? So that's what I want you to see. Listen, people deserve to be put in prison who commit criminal acts. They're supposed to be doing that. That is the way to keep them from continuing to do that. And I do believe that we're to bring the message of hope, the gospel to them, so their souls can be saved. And if they have served their time, then they can be restored into society as, you know, God-fearing people. And it's not about that anymore. They served their time. They've done what the law requires for them to serve. So again, this is not not having a heart for people who end up in prison. No, I mean, obviously, no one's good. No, not one. They have broken the laws of men. But you know what? People are out of the prison cells, the physical cells, that haven't broken the laws of men, but they're breaking the laws of God. And they're also in a prison, and that is a sinful prison that is going to take them to hell. And we who carry the good news are like that angel with the keys to unlock the door. And that key is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is the message that we proclaim to set the captives free. Glory to God. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And because it's upon him, just like he told us in Matthew 28, where he talked about Matthew 28, verse 18, the Great Commission, all authority on heaven have been given to me, on earth and heaven have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Jesus has authorized and deputized you and me to go and make disciples. I want you to know the good news is he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. It is us who have to change. God never changes. He will do what is according to his will, and we can know that God is faithful. Let me tell you something. God rewards those who seek him, those who believe that he is God. Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, this is a Hebrews 11:6. I want to slow down. Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 11 through 12. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. Isn't that awesome that when we are faithful to the Lord, when we continue to do his will, God's recompense is going to be with him? Amen. So you know what? If the evil person thinks it looks like they're having a great old time right now and it's all good, they're getting away with it. Trust me. Let the evil person keep doing evil, but let the righteous keep doing good. Let the righteous keep doing what the will of God is. Continue to serve your Lord no matter what may come your way. Continue to do the will of God. And if you should suffer for doing what is right, then you are blessed. Glory to God, because Jesus was the great example. He suffered for doing good, for doing the Father's will, and so shall we. We were called to this. God executes vengeance over Daniel's enemies. This is the last point I want to make, and we'll wrap this up. So Daniel is trusting in God. He's going through this. His enemies, for a moment, they were all excited. We got rid of Daniel. They're partying, probably drinking and toasting to each other. What a great plan we devised. What a great plot we had, and everything's going great. And there's a season where they're excited, and they're having a great old time, and Daniel is getting ready to be thrown into the den of lions, and then God shows up, delivers Daniel, sends an angel, shuts the mouths of lions, and now the tables begin to turn. God is going to do; he's going to execute vengeance on Daniel's enemies, those who plotted against him. God is going to bring justice, and he's going to do it right. And now these men are going to face God for what they're going to face, their judgment. They're going to face their creator because they're going to be cast into the lion's den. And it says, not only did God deliver Daniel, but he also judged his enemies. And they were there, and they with their families were thrown into the den of lions. All right. Not only did God deliver Daniel, but he judged his enemies. And I want you to know that the wicked will not prosper. Their light will be snuffed out. So you don't have to be overly concerned about what they're doing. Be concerned about the will of God. Be concerned about doing good. Don't grow weary in well doing, but do not grow weary in well doing. For if you do not faint in the proper time, you will receive a harvest if you don't give up. God is faithful. Trust God. Continue to do his will, and God will execute his vengeance. I want to remind you of a passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. I want you to look at this with me. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verse 19. And it says here, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." That's Romans 12, verse 19. We are not to be concerned again with what our enemies are plotting against us, but we are to entrust ourselves fully to the Lord to bring his glory out of it. We're to trust him. I mean, you got to understand, man, I don't know about you, but I've been through some things in my workplace. I've been through some things in my life where there were people plotting and scheming to remove me from a piece of place and a place of authority, a place of a position that I had. And God allowed some of that to happen at some points. And yet God was faithful to bring about his will through all of it. And you know what? Through that time, I learned, I grew. I grew to trust God in the midst of that affliction that I was going through, the lies that were said, the things that were like just outrageous. God was faithful to see me through it. And guess what? Those people are no longer around me. Those people, God removed them from me because he's faithful. And my prayer for them, that they would come to know Christ just as I have, because I continue to do my job faithfully as I was hired to do. No matter what happened, I was faithful to do what I was to the Lord, because everything we do, we got to do unto him. It doesn't matter what's going on around with your manager or this person. Trust God, and God will see you through. And you'll be a witness to them. What are they going to say to you? That person had to come to me and say, "I can't believe you took it this way. I can't believe that you didn't just clean out your stuff and just get out of here." You know what? No, because we love the Lord and we know that God is in control and you have no power over me. The only authority that you're exercising, God gave it to you. But if God wanted me to stay where I'm at, there's not a devil in hell that could keep me from what God wants. Or you. Amen? So this is what we have to understand as believers. Let's finish up. I want to read to you there in 1 Peter. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 20. Again, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Let's read this together. Again, what am I saying? Let God execute judgment or vengeance over your enemies, just like he did for Daniel. Look at here. This is what we're to be doing. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." Excuse me. "Honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. You see, friend, we need to look at our example, Jesus Christ. We can see how Jesus, his spirit was in Daniel. That excellent spirit, the Holy Spirit was in Daniel. And Daniel, through everything he went through, he didn't give up. He's trusted God. And as a result, a mighty deliverance happened. His enemies were judged. And lastly, you know, remember the decree the king made? A new decree was made. This is the last thing I want you to see. He made a new decree that everybody should respect and honor the God of Daniel. God having his witness on this earth, man. And I want you to know that God, no matter the darkness around us, no matter what we see, God will always have a witness. And guess what? Light shines brighter in darkness. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray today for someone who might be watching or listening who has been convicted that they don't know you. That maybe they were like these satraps and high officials of the Mede and Persian Empire who were plotting against a righteous man, Daniel. Maybe they're plotting, they think they're plotting against you, Lord, and you're laughing because it's like, really? You think you're going to outsmart me, the creator of heaven and earth? Were you there when I made the sun? Were you there when I made the heavens and the earth and I separated the waters from the... Man, I'm telling you, man is so arrogant yet foolish. It's vanity. And maybe you're someone that's there and you realize, man, I need Jesus. I need to be saved from my sin. I want to tell you good news today. You can be. There isn't any magic to it. It's by faith. It is by grace through faith. The Bible tells us that we're to repent of our sins and that we're to put our trust in Jesus Christ. We're to confess him as our Lord and we're to believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and that one day Jesus is returning to make all the wrongs right. And so we want to just, I want to implore you today, if that the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart right now, that I pray that you would bow your knee before God and just pray and ask him. The prayer is nothing, it's just talk to him and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Look at the things I'm doing and I'm done. And I confess that is wrong. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he's the Son of the living God. And I want to put my trust in him. I want to hope in him. I want to have eternal life with you, Lord. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he died for my sins, that he paid the penalty that I deserved. And I receive that gift that you gave this world, your Son. Save me, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Ask him. And God's going to fill you with his Spirit. And man, if you're listening and God's convicted you and you've been going through some stuff and maybe you've been retaliating, maybe you've been fighting it, maybe you are fearful, oh, I pray this message would encourage you. Would you bow your head before the Lord and begin to just confess where you've fallen short and say, God, your word is true. You said, if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord, help me to walk and trust in you, Lord, in the midst of the afflictions, in the midst of the persecution, the trouble, the tribulations that are around me and what I'm going through, Lord. Help me to hold fast to you. And we thank you, Lord, for your promises, Lord. They are yes and amen. And so we love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.